Okay, something that we've got different today that I saw inside of your bulletin. If everybody got a bulletin, there is a new, I guess this is going to be a visitation card. Really a good-looking card. And it's got the gospel message on the back and celebrate freedom at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. So I don't know if this is for a special occasion. Anybody know why we have these? Veterans Day, maybe that's what it's for. But anyway, a beautiful card, something that everybody should have one today. So this will give you one card to give out to somebody, invite them to come to Sunday school and church next week. And then, of course, the prayer list goes on and on and on. 62 requests on here, if I counted correctly. So you've got, you don't think you have anything to pray about, get this out and pray about it and thank the Lord your name's not on that list. That's something I always thank the Lord that me or my immediate family is not on this list. And if you stick around long enough, though, more than likely, someday, name will be on that list. If nothing else, call him about the visitation for his funeral. So I hope you're all around to come to it. But anyway, this week I was thinking what the Lord wanted me to teach. And in my daily Bible readings, I've been in Genesis, really have enjoyed reading in Genesis with J. Vernon McGee. I don't get a thing for advertising for him. He's dead and gone, but his ministry goes on and on and on. And I've so much enjoyed, I just finished Genesis this week, and I've so much enjoyed it, his commentary on it. Opened up things that just made me consider, I may have heard some of those things in times past, but had forgotten them. And it made me consider them. And so today I'm going to talk to you about family problems. I'm sure there's nobody in here that's got any family problems. Nobody in here that's not speaking to somebody else that's in your family. That wouldn't be Christian-like to be that way. And you say, well, they're not Christians. They're not speaking to me, so I'm not going to speak to them either. But family problems have been going on since the beginning of time. Adam and Eve started it out. And then their sons just kind of perpetuated it on and on and on. And the Bible is full of families that shouldn't have been that way, but they had family problems that were desperate. And I talk to people all the time that says, you know, my brother hadn't spoken to me in 15 years. And it's all over when they had the inheritance. Somebody got cheated. Somebody didn't get the piece of furniture that they wanted. And so many different things that seems kind of funny to me, because when my parents passed away and me and my two brothers, we didn't have any problems. But my parents didn't have much. So it didn't take long to divide up a little bit. Come on in, folks. We're glad to have you. We're just getting started, so you've not missed anything yet. Let's make them rude. Are they with you guys? You want to introduce them to us? Or is this their first time here?
Yes, they're visiting.
Well, good, good. We're glad to have
you.
Okay, Jacob and Liddy. We're glad to have you folks. Hope you enjoy the services. We won't call attention to you or anything else. And then when we asked you to give a special presentation or something, well, don't think anything about it. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. I run into folks all the time in my business. They're having family problems. They're having problems, and I'm talking about serious problems, where they have to call the law on somebody, one of their friends. We had a customer this week that got irate over a service problem, didn't come and see me or anything. And I was sitting back in my office, just minding my own business, or trying to. And all of a sudden, I heard all this hollering and shouting and screaming and going on. And I thought, my gracious, what in the world is going on? So I tore out of my office and went running up there. And here's the sales manager and this guy, this close to one another, just as loud as they could be. The poor girl that does all of our warranty work, she was over there, and she was just scared to death. She didn't know what was going on. I said, call the police. And one of the salespeople had already called the police. So we were having the police out there as quickly as possible. And I said, hey, fellas, what in the world's going on? Now, I didn't know the customer, but he acted like he knew me real well. And we just couldn't make him happy. There was no way it was going to make him happy. And he was calling Phil names, and Phil's calling him names, and they were at the highest decibel. They didn't need any microphones or anything else. Everybody that was outside could have heard them. And I finally thought, I said, listen, fella, you're just going to have to leave. Get off our property and don't ever come back. I read an article one time about divorcing a customer. And that's a hard thing to do because I want all the customers I can get, but sometimes you just have to divorce a customer. And sometimes a husband has to divorce a wife, or a wife has to divorce a husband, and they have family problems. So people, even good Christian people, can have problems, family problems. Today we're going to read about a family in the last part of Genesis, and you all have heard this story about Joseph since you were little, I guess, because he was a main character in the Bible stories for children. And I really enjoyed studying about Joseph this week and his family problems. So we'll start out in chapter 37. I'm going to read a lot of verses today, and hopefully we'll get through all the ones I want to use. In verse 2 of chapter 37 of Genesis, it says, these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report, or their evil or unsatisfactory, we could say, work that they were doing. This was their family business. That'd be like one of my sons coming to me, telling about my other son that's his partner in the business, telling me what all he's doing wrong. And occasionally, I'll hear it from one or the other of them. And so it's left to me to be the arbitrator and try to figure out what's the best way to do it, or I'll just say, ah, this will blow over, forget about it, until it really gets blown up into something big. But Joseph, just a kid, 17 years old. But the Lord had blessed this boy with an unusual blessing. He could interpret dreams, which I don't know anybody can interpret dreams today, but I sure dream some dreams. I mean, I guess all of you can dream a dream and wonder what it means, and I don't know that any of them mean anything serious, but he would dream dreams, and as we're going to read here in a few minutes, and it just aggravated everybody. None of his brothers. He had 10 brothers that were upset with him all the time. There was just 12 kids in their family, or 12 boys in their family. And I could imagine, we had 5 children in our family, and it was all the time something we had to keep the peace. The boys were after the girls, or the girls were after the boys, and this one was tattletaling on the other one, and it was just a constant thing. So we developed early on a set of rules. A set of rules that they all had to live by. And I've told this before, so you may have heard it. But we put those rules up on the refrigerator door, where all kids love to go. And so they knew what they were. We had it printed out up there. And I think she even had them typed. And we stuck them on the refrigerator door. And then right below those, when they broke those rules, we had the punishment that was going to be sent out for breaking those rules. So many licks. We had this yardstick that was about this thick, and it was a yardstick, and Linda could swing it like a baseball bat. I mean, she was good with that thing. If she had ever hit a ball that far, it would knock it plumb out of the park. And they knew exactly when we told them to go to the refrigerator, it wasn't something that they were wanting to get something to eat. They just did not want to do that. But we lived up, and Linda was much better at it than I was. Because I'd always say, go see your mother at the refrigerator. And I can't never remember, and I say this in embarrassment, I can't never remember, I'm sure I probably did, spanking my daughters. We had three girls and two boys. And there was just something about those daughters that made me a little more mellow than I probably should have been. And lots of times they were a lot meaner than the boys. But anyway, my sons, I've wore them out before. And I don't regret time in doing it. I really don't. Because it made them good men. They're both living the way they should live, as far as I can tell. They've never brought me any embarrassment. They work hard. And I contribute to that, not because I set such a good example for them. It's just that we demanded that they behave and they do right. And I'm sure they got by with a lot of stuff. And every now and then one of them will tell me, well, if you'd known I did this, you'd have. Yeah, I said, well, you're not too old that we can't go back and visit that again. But Joseph was growing up with his brothers, and his brothers were all older than him, but he thought that he was just as big as they were. And when he saw them messing up, it just delighted him to come and tell Jacob, hey, you know what he did, or you know what they're doing, and they're not doing anything. They're not earning their keep out there. And giving a bad report. And so that got those brothers, they were just tore up with him. Has anybody in your family ever given a bad report on you that you didn't like? Maybe it's just half true. Or maybe it was all true, but you didn't want them out blabbing it and telling it to your parents or telling it to some of your friends or embarrassing you or anything. That's what Joseph was doing. He was telling stuff that it was probably all true. And Jacob, his dad, probably needed to know about it because it was affecting the family business. But the brother sure didn't like it. Verse 3 says, Now Israel, which is Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. I'll tell you what, when you've got, he had 12 boys, and I don't know how many girls, but he had 12 boys, and it's hard not to like one better than others. Out of five, I caught myself lots of times favoring one over the others, which is not right. But it's hard to do. Now, you folks just got one, that's a blessing sometimes, because if something's tore up, you know who did it. They can't blame it on somebody else, or the dog didn't do it, or whatever. But when you've got a bunch of kids, it's hard not to favor one over the others. And that's something, especially we as Christians, you need to really guard against that. And I wish I'd done a better job at it. Linda was pretty good about it. And today, she is still close to all of our kids. The girls call her every day. Every day they call their mother and talk to her for a little while. And if they don't call her, she calls them. So they keep the phone lines or the cell phones charged up and doing well. The boys don't call that much, but I see one of them every day and sometimes both of them in the business. But we're all still very close. And our kids are close together, which is a great blessing. They get the texting And I don't know if some way or another they include me in their text. And I guess it's just a group text or whatever. And my phone starts dinging. And it just ding. And I'm not paying any attention to those messages. But it really wasn't pertaining to me. But I get those messages. And Linda and I have often talked. It's really good to see them love one another as adults. But they've got to start it out as their children. And if you've got children still at home, encourage them to love one another. Encourage them to get along. Because when they get to be adults, they're going to develop different personalities than they had, thank goodness, than they had when they were teenagers. And sometimes they move to different areas. They go to different occupations and sometimes different schools and things like that. But you want your family to stay together as good as you can. And it is a blessing to have it that way. But Israel showed so much prejudice towards Joseph. It says more than all of his children, because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now, I heard Dolly Parton's song, Coat of Many Colors, and probably you all have heard that song, and we think of those coats as being something really beautiful, but it was probably just an unusual coat. It was probably a coat that would stand out. I don't know if it was many colors or what it was. From this interpretation, we'll consider it being many colors, but it could have been just a coat that had sleeves in it where the rest of them didn't have it. But it stood him out above all of his brethren. And in verse 4, the last part of it, says, all of his brother and his brother all hated him. They hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. I can imagine what supper time was like there. They would never pass him anything to eat. They wouldn't, anything they could blame him on, they would do that. And then make up things probably to tell Jacob that, well, Joseph did this and Joseph did that. But they all hated it. Never did one time did the Bible say that he hated them. But they all hated him. Verse 5 says, and Joseph dreamed a dream and told it to his brethren, and they hate him yet the more. Joseph just kept piling it on. If Joseph could have learned to just keep his mouth shut, lots of times he could save some of that hatred, but the Lord wanted him to tell them. He wanted him to know his dreams. And because someday his dreams were going, we know the end of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, his dreams were going to come true. And in verse 8, and his brother said to him, shalt thou read, well, he told him his dreams were that someday they were all going to have to bow down to him. Even his mother and father was going to have to bow down to him. He was going to rule over them. And him being younger than all the rest of them, you know how well that went over. And it's like the baby telling the oldest one, hey, someday I'm going to be the leader of this clan. And I'm going to, and it was very important in that day and time, the way their family relations were made up, that the oldest one was going to be the next patriarch in the family or whatever. And Joseph said, nope, it's going to be me. And they didn't like that at all. And verse 9 says, let's go back to 8. It says, the brothers saying to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? They hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And in verse 9, the first part says, and he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren. And this was about the mother and father. The whole family was going to have to bow down to him someday. In verse 10, it says, and he told it to his father and to his brethren. And it just went on, and that just eat at his brethren, you know. Verse 18 says, and when they saw him afar off, he was going out to check on him. His dad told him, go out and check on your brothers. And it took him a while to find him, but when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. That's how bad they hated him. And I've been mad at my brothers before, and I'm sure they've been mad at me. They were much older than me, and I was just the baby in our family, and I can't remember them ever telling me anything negative much, but I always loved him. I loved him now, and one of them's 87 or 88, and he's a mean Democrat, but I still love him. and I hope he still loves me. He lives in Florida, right in the panhandle, so I was concerned about him this week, and I called him. He had a few limbs fall off of his trees, and that was the only damage that they had, and I thank the Lord for that. And he's a good Christian guy. He told me one time, he says, I guess I'm the only Democrat in my Southern Baptist church. I go to at Fort Walton Beach. And so he sticks it out, and I guess he'll do that till the day he dies. All of his family are Republicans. I mean, his kids are, his wife is, and his grandkids are. But he sticks with that Democratic philosophy, so I just don't even talk to him about it. I'll just tell you all about it. He's not listening to this. Or I don't think he is, anyway. But a family can get tore up over politics. It can get tore up over just the least little things. And you look back on such stupid, silly things that families get tore apart on. But lots of times it's money. Money can separate brothers, separate sisters, separate parents. A lot of folks sitting in here had family problems, didn't even have kids, and are divorced today for one reason or another. And that's a sad problem to have. But they couldn't get along. And the Bible's full of stuff like that happening. I mean, all through the Bible. It's trying to teach us we need to learn how to get along. Verse 26, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? They were going to kill him. They were all bound up to kill him. But Judah says, no, let's don't do that. That's not going to be profit to it. He says, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Good salesman. Back in that day and time, we talk about human trafficking today. It was going on in Bible times, human trafficking. They would sell him. And they were going to sell this boy. He's young and strong and handsome, and he'd bring a good price. And his brethren, in verse 27, the last part of it says, and his brethren were content. Hey, that's a good idea. Let's just sell him. And in verse 29, Joseph, Reuben was going to come back and get Joseph. They cast him in a pit. And I think that, have you ever been what you call in the pits? This is the first mention of it that I know of in the Bible. But every now and then, you just say, boy, this is the pits. I want out of this mess. And Joseph found out firsthand what the pits were all about. And they cast him in this pit that was out there where they were grazing their flocks. But old Reuben thought that he'd go back and he'd get him out and get him back home to his daddy. Well, Reuben came up after they'd already sold him, his other brothers had sold him to the Ishmaelites, and said, hey, he's not there. He was scared to death. In verse 31, and they made up a plan to tell Jacob, it says, and they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in the blood, and they brought it to their father in verse 32. And in verse 33, their father determines an evil beast had devoured him. Joseph is without a doubt rent into pieces. And the story goes on, and then in verse 36 of chapter 37, it says, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar. Human trafficking. First case scenario right there. Then we skip on over to chapter 39. He's been sold to Potiphar, which is a ruler there, and a man of, I think he was a captain in Pharaoh's army, or a big leader in it anyway. And in verse 32, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, even though he had been sold into slavery, basically. And Potiphar brought him home. But the Lord had blessed him. The Lord gave him a certain knack or something. Have you seen people that's just got a knack for doing everything right, and they're very prosperous, and they make money on a molehill or whatever? And Joseph was like that. He had a great talent. And in verse 5, it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, and he had a lot. This guy was a rich guy, been like one of our senators today. They never fuss or fight either, do they? But he said he made him ruler all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Joseph was bringing blessings overflowing to this guy that was his ruler, I suppose you could call him, that had bought him and paid for him. He was a very profitable servant. Verse 6 says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not all he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. I mean, he had everything in the world going for him. And the Lord was just really blessing him. And his master's wife cast on verse 7 says, and his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. She said, lie with me. But he refused and got out of there. He was in a bad situation there, and he had enough sense to realize it. In verse 11, and it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business or his work, and there was none of the men of the house there within. There was a big mistake he made. Going in there with that woman that was wanting him to be with her, and nobody there. No other men in the house, or no women or anybody else to back him up in what he was saying. And after he got in there, he realized the problem they was facing. And guys, I'll never forget Preacher Lassie saying, if a lady of my congregation has a flat tire out on the road and I pass by, I'll call her a wrecker or I'll call somebody to come and help her. But I'm not even going to let her sit in my car with me. And I've tried to pay attention to that. I thought that was a good thing. And it's a shame that it has to be that way. But we saw on TV here just a few weeks ago, I listened to 10 hours of that stuff on the way back from Indiana. Linda and I were traveling back, and it was pouring down rain. But we listened to all that with great amazement of whether the lady was lying or whether the lady was truthful or whatever. Everybody was in a bad situation there. And we guys, and you girls too, need to learn to behave and to make sure that we never put ourselves in a position to where we can be even thought of doing something like that. I have a lot of ladies that work for me. And I'm very, very careful. Never, ever to put myself in a position where somebody could say something wrong with me. Barbara used to work for me, and she'll testify to that. And we just have to be very careful. But I thank Preacher Lassie for that. I thought that was kind of crude when he first said it, or kind of rude or whatever, but it made a lot of sense after a while. In verse 19, and it came to pass when his master, what happened in verse 11, she came out and tried to catch him and drag him, I guess, into bed with her or whatever. And he got out of there, but she held on to his coat or part of his clothes or something, and she just held him. And she told all the other people there, look what this guy has done here that Potiphar's brought into us. He's trying to rape me. And so when Potiphar comes home in verse 19, it came to pass when his master heard these words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. But the Lord was with Joseph. And sometimes we can get ourselves in a bunch of trouble, and it seems like the Lord's not with us. And Joseph didn't understand the Lord was with him at this time either. But he gained favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And it came to pass after a while, in verse 1 of chapter 40, that the butler, the king of Egypt, and his baker had offended their lord and the king of Egypt. And, of course, he cast them into prison. And one day they both dreamed dreams. Joseph interpreted their dreams for them to make the story go along, and you probably know what. It came to pass in verse 1 of chapter 41, says that it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed, behold, he stood by the river. And Pharaoh, now, the butler's dream was a good dream. Joseph interpreted for him that, hey, 3 days, you're going to get out of prison. You're going to go back to serving the Pharaoh, the king. The baker's dream, the baker was sitting there, boy, this is going to be all right. His dream was just the opposite, and Joseph told him, 3 days, they're going to kill you. And both dreams came true. Well, in verse 23, which I skipped of, chapter 40, says, Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph told him after he interpreted his dream and everything came out good for him, he said, now when you get over there, you remember me. I don't belong down here in this dungeon. I need to get out. You can help me. But the butler completely forgot him. 2 more years he was sitting in that prison. And I wonder if he was what he was thinking. Boy, here the Lord had blessed me and blessed me and blessed me, and here I'm sitting in this stinking prison. In verse 9, after Pharaoh had dreamed his dreams, and then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. And so he tells Pharaoh that, hey, when I was in prison, this guy interpreted my dreams, and they came true. He could probably interpret your dreams too. Pharaoh's dreams were, and you know the story, probably they had seven cattle came up, and they were good flesh of cattle. And then after them, 7 poor cattle came up and ate them up. In the same way with the stalks of corn. And so Pharaoh couldn't figure it out. None of his magicians, none of his wise men could tell him the interpretation of his dream. Joseph comes in, and verse 14 says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him up hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. I could go a long ways in about him shaving, but some of you guys didn't shave today, so I'll not get into that. But you all did at least change your raiment, and you came in with clean clothes. But he wanted to present himself as a neat guy, I guess, and wanted to look good for Pharaoh. And God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace, is what Joseph promised him. In verse 33, then, of chapter 41, says, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over this land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. He had told him, you're going to have 7 years of great plenty. You need to store up for it, because there's coming a great depression right after that. I can remember going through the crunch, that's what we called it, and my boys could remember that. And so now they're saving up for the next crunch. We hadn't saved up for that first one. Joseph wasn't around to tell me what was going to happen. But it taught us all a good lesson anyway about business. So Pharaoh does that, and he ends up appointing Joseph over everything. He rides in the 2nd chariot. He has Pharaoh's ring. He can do anything he wants to. He can tell somebody, go do this, they better go and do it, because it's the same thing as Pharaoh telling him to do it. And in verse 43 says, and he made him to ride in the 2nd chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Gone a long way since 17. Then in verse 56, and the famine was over all the face of the earth. And verse 57 says, all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph to buy corn, because that is the famine was sore in all the lands. And Jacob, they're still down in Canaan with his sons and the families. And he saw that, or he heard the word, that the only way they were going to survive is if they went to Egypt and bought some corn, bought grain, and to feed their families with. In verse 3, it says, and Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brother, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. He said, the last time I sent Joseph out with his 10 brethren, mischief befell him, and never saw him again. And he was afraid that something might happen to Benjamin. And he probably doted over Benjamin just like he had over Joseph. And it doesn't say anywhere that the brethren hated Benjamin. Benjamin probably kept to himself or something, or stayed away from those brothers. But anyway, they come down there, and we'll skip on over to chapter 47. And the brethren come down there, Wait, I'm going too far. Let me back up. That's what I get for having these thin pages. But anyway, Joseph had all this food stored up in barns, and all the world, the known world then, was coming to Egypt to buy food from them. And when the brethren came down, they did not recognize him because he was 30 years old. Been a long time since they'd seen him. And he made himself kind of hateful to them, mean to them, and made them, he was testing them to see if they had changed their ways any at all. And he asked about Benjamin, and have you still got a younger brother? Where is he? And they told him that the father wouldn't let him come down with them because he was afraid that something would happen to him. And he finally told him, he kept testing, he says, I'm not going to sell you any more grain unless you bring your younger brother down. That was his full brother. And he wanted to see him. And when they finally convinced, they went back and told their dad that, and they were getting ready to be starving again for food. And so he allowed Benjamin to go down. In chapter 45, the brethren all come up there and said, in verse 1 says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he told them, it says, he let them know, and finally he got his dad and all of them down there. And it goes on over into chapter 47, chapter 50. And Jacob had died. And in verse 15, it says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. They were looking for a payday. They were afraid that Joseph would be just like they were, that he was going to get even. And so many times in our families, we want to get even when somebody's done us wrong, or somebody has unjustly accused us of something. We want to get even with them. And they, his brethren, thought, well, hey, we've got this coming to us. This ought to happen to us. In verse 16 says, and they sent a messenger to Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass all the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before him, before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. His dream about them bowing down to him had already come true. They'd bowed down to him every time they saw him. And of course, they didn't know they were bowing down to Joseph before, but they knew they were bowing down to Joseph now. And I don't know if that dream came back, that they remembered it or not. But in verse 19, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? And this is the main verse of this whole story. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. So many times, evil befalls us. So many times things happen to us that we don't understand. So many times in our families we get crossways one with another. But if we're going to be Christians, God has permitted that maybe to come into our lives for a reason. And maybe today there's somebody sitting in here that needs to call their brother or their sister or their mom or dad or a child and say, look, this has gone on long enough. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to be ill with you or cause you to be ill with me. And if I've done you wrong, I pray that you forgive me. You know, that's a hard thing to ask, especially to a relative, to ask them to forgive you for something that you think that you didn't even do. But sometimes you've got to make peace. And God brings you around to this, says, but as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it in good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And he did. He saved his family alive and all those other people in there because of that. And this is the end of the story. Excuse me, the end of the story of Joseph. Verse 26, so he died being 110 years old. And they embalmed him and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. He had lived a good old life. And the life that he lived from 30 to 110 was one of great majesty and great power. And he made peace with his brothers. He could have held out and said, hey, you did me wrong. I'm not going to forgive you. If somebody in your family's done you wrong, forgive them. Get over it. Go on and be a family again. And that's something that's really hard for you to do, but it's something as a Christian you need to do. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this lesson today about families. And I pray that there's not anybody in this room that's having a problem like that Joseph had, where their brethren or their sisters or their family hates them. But I pray if there is one, that they'll get that straightened out and change their family's lives. And thank you for this lesson in the Bible. Thank you that everything in the Bible is true and it's for our good, and that we need to study it and learn from it and the experiences that these people had. Now, thank you again for our church, and thank you for our visitors today. And I pray that in after service that you'll feed us with another good lesson about prayer today from Pastor Jody. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you all for being here. Gary will be back next week. Thank you. And he didn't call in to correct me, so.